Now would be a great time for you to get your outlines out. Hopefully you got one of those when you came in. We'd love for you to have an outline so you can take notes and follow along as we're studying in Proverbs chapter 3. So you can turn there. We're not going to cover a lot of the chapter tonight. Finding Proverbs has so much information in such a short section that we'll be going through it in smaller pieces than I originally thought we would be going through. So I'm figuring in the next 10 years, we're going to get it covered. We got to get it covered. I think so. Because we're on a mission here. We're on a mission. Westbridge is on a mission to dig into God's Word and to excavate, to actually mine out what God calls treasure that is in there. The treasure that we are looking for is way more valuable than gold and silver and money, because we know those will only make you more of what you already are. It just kind of amplifies what you already are. And we are not looking for that. We are looking to change. We are looking to become what God wants us to be. We are mining for God's knowledge. We are mining for God's understanding. And we are mining for God's wisdom. And this will lead us to successfully live the life that he's entrusted to each one of us. And gang, that is what we are after. Now, last week, as we were in our study, we learned about God's common sense. He called it his wisdom, God's common sense. And we talked about some of the common nonsense that is regularly dispensed to us by our society. The first two chapters of Solomon's book, called Proverbs, and the first two chapters, along with the first two verses of chapter 3, extol the importance. It's been telling us the importance of having God's knowledge, the importance of having God's wisdom and understanding. Now we get it, Proverbs chapter 3. It began with this. Here's what it said. Good friends, don't forget all that I've taught you. Take my commands to heart. They'll help you live a long, long time, a long life lived well and full. That's what we want. That's what we're after. Now, I'm pretty sure we're all in agreement that we need knowledge. We got to know how to do things to live the way God wants us to live. The knowledge that's coming to us, the nonsense we're picking up, is stuff that's been thrown at us that doesn't work, is stuff from daytime talk shows, maybe stuff you're getting from your favorite musician, or maybe even Hollywood celebrities that are tweeting, telling you everything that you need to know. And we're finding that is really common nonsense. And we don't want that. So tonight, we're digging in. Chapter 3, verse 2. We are going to dig our shovels in and take our first real big bite into God's wonderful soil and pull out the first spiritual diamond that Solomon offers us. Here it is. He says, don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. He says, tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. Then you'll find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Well, let's unpack this. Did you catch that first phrase in this proverb? He says, don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. See, in this proverb, Solomon warns us that it is very likely that you will find yourself in a situation where you will lose your grip on wanting the best for someone else at your own expense. That's what love is, wanting the best for someone else at your own expense. You're going to find there are days that you lose your grip on that. He's saying it's highly probable that you will have moments, you may even have days, and unfortunately you may even go through seasons where you are tempted to drop your self-control guard and speak or respond or act in a way that is unloving. There are days when you will feel like you just don't have it in you to be careful. Days that you just don't have it in you to watch your step. Solomon is not talking about us giving up completely on loving someone or even moving away from loving someone completely. Solomon is talking about weak moments. He's talking about eruptions. He's talking about outbursts and slip-ups. You see, since we have had our hearts cleansed by Jesus Christ, and we have been living our new life, and we have been living with a sense of doing things rightly, we have been striving to be kind to everyone, aren't we? We have been striving to exercise selflessness. We have got a hold on the power that God has given us to do the things he's called us to do. But gang, inevitably, someone is going to come along and get your goat. Maybe it's when you're on Route 22 over in Bethlehem, and you are trying to get on that ramp, and there is no room to get on there, and nobody moves over for you. Maybe that's when you're going to slip. Maybe it's when somebody says the one thing they absolutely should not say to you. Maybe someone is going to come along and rain on your parade. Someone's going to come along and they're going to let you down. Someone's going to come along and make you out to be the problem that isn't the problem. Someone is going to mess up what you have spent gobs of time getting right in your life. Your child will talk back to you, or even worse, they'll talk back to your spouse. Your husband will disappoint you and not do that thing he promised to do. Your friend will spill their secret to the absolute worst possible person they could. And your coworker will throw you under the bus for something they didn't do. When this happens, Solomon says, don't lose your grip on love. Point one, love has a slippery handle. That means you can drop love instantly. And in time, in the time that it takes to pick love back up, you can do some serious and sometimes irreversible damage. Now let me remind you, to keep this in context, we are learning how to have a functional, successful life in God. These proverbs are about taking care of others and taking care of ourselves. This wisdom Solomon is giving us sounds like it's only aimed at helping the other person, where in actuality, how we love affects us. Somehow in the process of loving others, our hearts and our lives are positively affected. Here's how it works. We know when we have a firm grip on love, we want the best for someone at our own expense. We'll do that. We'll make that happen. That means we care about their health. We care about their state of being. We care about their wellness. That's loving someone. But when we don't love someone, when we let go of the love handle, we don't care about the other person. We don't care what they get. We don't care how they feel. We don't even care about their state of being. It's not that we wish bad or evil on them. The bottom line, the opposite of love, is simply just not caring. I just don't care about the other person. That apathy, gang, is the opposite of wanting the best for someone at your own expense. And that not caring, that indifference towards others, is actually a cancer in our own hearts. And it will keep us from finding the fulfillment, the success, and the joy that God wants us to find. Solomon says, don't lose your grip on love. Because it will boomerang on you. It will boomerang and hit you square in your life. And that apathy towards others affects your spirit negatively. As we think about our grip on love, I don't think it's wrong to include an evaluation of the grip we have on our love for God as well. Is your excitement level for God strong? Is it prominent? Or have you lost your grip a little bit? Has it gone down? Are you still just as grateful for God saving you from your sins as when you started? Or are you losing your grip and actually slipping back towards those things they brought you out of? Are you firmly holding tight to spending time with God? Firmly holding tight to spending time with fellow believers and committing to it? Spending time actually serving God? Or have you lost your grip and settled for doing, I guess, the bare minimum? Gang, loving and serving and worshiping God is like walking up an escalator that is going down. If you keep your feet moving, and you keep doing what you're supposed to do, you will move up that escalator even though it's moving down. But if you lose your grip, it means you stop. You just kind of coast. But there is no coasting, because that elevator is always moving down. That escalator will take you down if you stay out of the game for too long. And going down does not have the consequences that we want. We want positive consequences, but that will give us negative. Solomon's wisdom tells us, don't lose your grip on love. But then Solomon couples this with the second thing. He says, and don't lose your grip on loyalty. Now, this means keeping a firm grip on our faithfulness, keeping a staunchness to our commitments, especially when it comes to people and the promises that we've committed ourselves to. Point two is this. Loyalty wanes. Loyalty wanes in a disposable world. Now, I don't know about you, but I absolutely love throwing stuff away. I love throwing stuff out. I am not a hoarder. I am the exact opposite of a hoarder. I am a disposer. For several years, Westbridge has had a storage unit. Did you know this? We have a storage unit out there somewhere where we keep all our collected stuff. We've been doing this for years. Well, when we moved from the upper room to here, Alpha Press, a lot of the stuff that we had accumulated was no longer necessary. Things like these giant rolling metal racks that we were given. We didn't need them. Old props for dramas that will never be done again. Even old appliances we had collected. We had accumulated a lot of junk. So my buddy, Mr. Robert, and me, we went on a mission. We went over to that storage unit, and he said, Drew, bring your trailer. I said, all right, Mr. I'm bringing a trailer. I went there with Mr. Robert, and over a period of time, took three full trailer loads to the dumps to dispose of. I drove that stuff to the dumps, singing the whole way. I was like Fozzie Bear riding down the road with Kermit. I couldn't believe it. You see, of the top five best feelings that a man can feel in life, one of my top five is throwing stuff in a dumpster. Oh, I love getting rid of junk. But in my enthusiasm to throw things away, I need to be careful. Because not everything is meant to be disposable. Not everything in our life belongs in a dumpster. Somewhere in this equation, I'm learning, loyalty is supposed to reside somewhere. When I was a little boy, I wanted a Pooh Bear doll. A Winnie the Pooh Bear doll. I wanted this doll when I was probably 4 years old. And I got that doll. I got him on Christmas morning. And I loved that bear. As a little boy, I took that bear everywhere. I slept with it every night. I hugged him. I played with him all day long. And for years, I had that bear. I played with that bear so much that under his neck and his chest got threadbare, where you could see right through and the stuffing was coming out. But I kept that bear. I was about 19 years old, and the previous night when I had slept with it, I still had the bear at 19, and it was time to clean up. Time to clean up my room. I'm 19 now, and I felt like Andy at Toy Story 3, but I said, it's just an old stuffed animal. It's got to go. So I took that bear out back and I put it in a garbage can. And I walked away. And later my mother had me take out some, I think it was, we had watermelon rinds. I went out and I threw the watermelon rinds in the garbage right on top of the bear. And to this day, I can picture that. To this day, it's just an old bear. It's just an old stuffed animal. But I picture that. And something inside of me says, there's something wrong about that. It was just a bear. It was just a stuffed animal. But somehow, something was wrong in that picture. It still is to me for this today. That story reminds me not so much of stuffed animals. It reminds me about people. It reminds me to be very careful that I'm not throwing people away quickly and easily. It reminds me to keep a firm grip, or maybe even get a grip, on some loyalty. Now, I remember my wife took me to see a Broadway show. We went to see a Christian play, Jersey Boys. And a couple of them had crosses on. I saw it. Oh, yeah. So I went to see Jersey Boys. Now, if okay. So I saw Jersey Boys. Jersey Boys is a story of a band. There they are. That's the Jersey Boys. That's Four Seasons. Frankie Valli in the middle. And an interesting story, you see, Frankie Valli, that second guy from the left, he had a tremendously cool voice, very high voice, sang really cool high songs. And they were a doo-wop band for a while. But then along in the very early inception, they met this third fellow, the tall guy. Well, I'll go back one. There you go, the tall guy in the middle. And that's Bob Gaudio. Bob Gaudio took them from singing other people's songs to singing their songs, singing his songs. Sherry Baby, Ragdoll, Walk Like a Man. Well, we can go on all night. Just go on YouTube. You have a ball. And very cool, you know, these two guys, Bob Gaudio and Frankie Valli, became friends. And I'm watching all this in the play. This is very cool. And they came up with an idea, just the two of them. The two of them said, oh, I want to make a deal. Here's the deal. Frankie and Bob, we're going to become our own partnership. Here's how it works, very simply. Every bit of money you make for the rest of your life, I get half of. And every bit of money I make for the rest of my life, I give you half. I don't know who will earn more. Won't matter. We'll always, whatever we make, we always give the other guy half. And I'm listening. The whole time I'm watching this, I'm thinking, will these two guys be loyal to that promise? This was made in the 60s. Would they really do that? You know how they sealed the deal? A handshake. That's it. Just a handshake. I went to that show and I wondered, I don't know if they really keep that up. So I went home, went on YouTube, you know how you get excited about something like that, when you see it, you learn all about it afterwards. And I found an interview, which had just been done. It was an interview 5 decades later. You can show the next picture. There they are, 5 decades later. The men had stuck to that agreement 100%. They had never stopped sharing the money they made. Now, I don't think anyone in the world would say that either one of these guys was not blessed for their loyalty. Who had earned more? Doesn't matter. Bob Gaudio wound up writing tons and tons of songs, and Frankie Valli sang to this day. I think he's still singing. He's still around, right? He don't sing much. If you go see him in concert, he's going to do a lot of this and have you do a lot of... Frank, you're getting older. But amazing. Gang, believe me, I know there will be seasons in our life that have to end. I get that. Some seasons in our life have to end. There will be necessary endings in our life, and I will talk about that on another day. And there will be times when we have to say, this thing has run its course, and it needs to stop. But what Solomon is saying here is there's another end to this spectrum, the loyalty part. He says, don't lose your grip on loyalty. Know what you have committed to, and when you commit to it, stick to it, like these two guys did. Let's move into some takeaways. Let's take this theology and turn it right into what we can do in our life. Takeaway number one, value who and what you have. Again, usually our loyalty wanes. Our loyalty starts to go subside when we think there's something better than what we have originally agreed to. When we think, I can find a better employee, I'll let that other one go. When we think, I can find a better friend than the one I've got. I can find a better church. I can find a better job. I can find a better deal. And all of a sudden, our life of happiness and gratitude and stability gets shaken. Because instead of finding better, we find discontentment. In our world that really once felt tethered, it felt connected, it now feels like it's floating away. It's because we've lost our grip on loyalty, maybe even love. Solomon, gang, in this proverb is handing us a diamond of God's wisdom and understanding. It is God's common sense. The world around us will pull at us, and the world around us will say, don't be loyal to your employer. Don't be loyal to your employer. If someone else offers you a little more, go get it. Don't feel the need to stay committed to some promise you made. If something comes up, just back out. Don't feel the need to put down roots and stay established. You need to live with no strings attached. Be uncommitted. Well, gang, that's the world's common nonsense. And that will lead our lives to become lives that are misfiring. Solomon says, don't lose your grip on loyalty, and don't lose your grip on love. In fact, he goes on to say, tie them around your neck and carve their initials on your heart. That way you will always see them and be reminded to live a life of love and loyalty. He goes on to say, then you will find favor with God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. I actually like what the Contemporary English Version says on this. It says, don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. He says, then God and people will like you and consider you a success. I love that. God and people will like you. God's common sense says loud and clear that life will go better for us if God and people like us. That sounds quite simple. But guess what? The world around us promotes a nonsense saying, I don't care if you like me or not. This is me. And this is who I am. God says it's a valuable asset to be liked by people. And we get that by having a firm grip on love and loyalty. The world we live in, common nonsense, says, I don't care what you think of me. I march to the beat of my own drum. You just have to deal with it. Well, guess what, people? People won't deal with it. They will dismiss you. They will not hire you. They will ignore you. And they will walk on by you. You know, when my daughter Katie was interviewing for jobs last April and May, I started searching the internet about interviewing, trying to get some information. And I found a lot of interesting material about people who have had bad job interviews. There were articles saying what not to do in an interview. There were articles on how to recover from a bad interview. But the thing I loved the most, the thing I saved it to my computer, was an evaluation form. It was just a bullet points and scratch notes that an interviewer had kept after they had a candidate come in for a job that was a $70,000 to $95,000 a year job. He just posted, he says, here are the bullet points of what I got when I wrote down interviewing this person. I loved these because it was so telling. The bullet points he scratched down were this. First, the interviewee, he said, no eye contact when speaking. Second, candidate did not challenge themselves in school. Candidate cannot articulate a point. Candidate had low energy. Candidate had no accomplishments, no awards, no undertakings. Next bullet point, I love this one. Unremarkable. Get this one. Tell me this doesn't sound biblical. Not likable. At this point, I think the interviewer was just about ready to give up because he has only one more bullet point. You can tell, I think he's had it at the end of the rope. Last one was this. Dressed like a schlub. And Solomon is not asking God followers to be fake. He is not asking you to be fake. What Solomon is saying, he's telling us, we do need to be the best of ourselves. We need to have a firm grip on who our Heavenly Father is, who we're supposed to be emulating, who we are supposed to be like. We need to know what the Heavenly Father is like, and we need to act like Him because we are representing Him. Many years ago, I was talking with a fireman friend. It was a friend of mine named Steve. Steve and I knew each other for a long, 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 long time in the fire department. And Steve and his family actually started coming, attending Westbridge when Westbridge was in the Stortsville Elementary School. That's when he and his family would come to our church. And Steve made it very clear to me that he loved learning the Bible at Westbridge. He loved it. We would spend hours even at the firehouse talking about the Bible. It was long. he loved it, and I said, you know, hey, this is what I'm here for. So we would talk the Bible. We would talk about how to live for Jesus Christ. Long, long conversations. And Steve always appreciated the time that I gave him. That was true. He always appreciated it. And he also, I could see, made it clear that he admired me, and he really appreciated what I had done for him, what I was doing for him. But then one day, I'll never forget it, down at number 4 house, I was in a bad mood. I had been dealing with some very trying people, and I felt totally used, and I felt like I was taken advantage of. So when I sat down with Steve and he wanted to talk, I was totally frustrated. That day, our talk wasn't about living for Jesus Christ, and it wasn't about the Bible. It was more about me extolling my anger and venting my exasperation of people. Steve sat there and listened to the whole thing. But I knew he was very uncomfortable. I could see how uncomfortable it made him. Then he said something to me that I remember to this day and has been burned on my heart. Steve stood up and he turned to leave, but he kind of turned halfway towards me just so I would hear him. He says, Drew, this isn't the side of you anybody likes. Drew, this isn't the side of you anybody likes. See, for that moment with Steve, that whole talk, my little rant, I had lost my grip on being the confident, faithful, knowledgeable Christian leader Steve admired and longed to talk to. I had lost my grip on love, and I had lost my grip on loyalty, and Solomon's proverb was true. By losing my grip, I wasn't finding favor with people. And I wasn't finding favor with God. Our final takeaway is this. Get a grip on the side of you that nobody likes. This study started by saying we were going to go mining for treasure, right? We want to learn. We want to grow. We want understanding. We want knowledge. We want to get things right. Well, certainly Solomon has come through on his end, hasn't he? I want to say that when my friend Steve told me, Drew, this isn't the side of you anybody likes, I want to say this. It did not take me long to change. That's the truth. From that day forward, I never vented again with Steve. Still haven't to this day. A matter of fact, if you asked him about the story I just told you, my guess is he wouldn't even remember it. Because all the talks that we've had overshadow that. I just kept explaining God's truth. I just kept being an encouragement to Steve and just kept being someone who would help correct where things were wrong. You see, gang, God's Spirit, here's the cool thing. God's Spirit is powerful enough for us to make changes immediately. We can make immediate changes. I did. That day, I just said, I'm never going to talk like that again. I'm never going to do it. This isn't the side of you anybody likes? Wow. That is not what I'm supposed to be doing with my Christian walk. So I changed immediately. It wasn't that hard to just stop venting. If you are a complainer, I don't know, are you a complainer? If you are a complainer, God can help you stop immediately. You just have to ask God to have you check yourself before you open your mouth. If you are negative, if you are abrasive, if you are critical, if you are unkind, if you are disrespectful, God can help you immediately get a grip on that. You see, the power to grip God's love and the power to grip God's loyalty comes from Him. His Spirit that He puts inside each and every person who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. We grip God's wisdom tightly when we immerse ourselves in it and memorize it. There's no reason why you couldn't memorize Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2 and verses 3 and 4. God's treasure of wisdom and knowledge and understanding is something that God wants to lavish us with. But we do need to lay hold of it. And we need to wear it. Remember? Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Gang, that's gold. And that's what He promised, and that's what He delivered. But we have to lay hold of it. As the band comes back, the worship leaders, take time. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do tonight? What do you want me to change that needs to change? Maybe I've lost my grip on love. Maybe I have a tendency to speak in a way that isn't loving. Maybe I have a tendency to throw people away and say, you know what, I don't really care about them anymore. We're supposed to care. Maybe we've made some commitments that we've gone back on. Say, Lord, I need to get that right. I'm not going to have a good reputation with God and men by saying one thing and not doing it. And maybe God's showing something when He whispered in your ear, that isn't the side of you anybody likes. I had one of those sides. I'm sure I still have more. But God's gold, God's common sense is you can get rid of it. It can change. You got to give your heart to God. Give Him control. Immerse yourself in His word. Follow Him. Do the Christian disciplines that He calls us to. And tell Him, take my heart. Make it yours. Would you stand? Lord, as we head into 2018, we pray that you would make it a year that's different. A year where we get closer to you from no matter where we are on our journey. Whether we've just begun a walk with you, or whether we have been on the road for many, many years, let us get even closer to you. Let us understand you better. You are the God who has overcome. That means you have won all the battles that we have to go through. You know what it's like to be tempted to lose your grip on love. You know what it is to be loyal. And you know what it is to have a reputation before God and a reputation with us where we honor and praise you. Help us to do the same. Help us to live as you lived. Give us the power through your Spirit to make it happen. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands, knowing it's the best place to be. Be with us until we come back again next week. We will dig in deeper and find more gold in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.